Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4. Paul said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. What he's saying here is that he could have confidence in his own ability. And if others have reason to have confidence in their flesh, he does even more. And he goes on to talk about those qualifications in verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But, he says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, he says, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of, Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to preach to you this one thing. This one thing. Hallelujah. God bless you. Please be seated today. I don't know if you realize this, but this is the last Sunday in March. It's the last Sunday in March. 3 months in, folks, to 2026. That means this is the end of the first quarter of the year of 2026. Can you believe that? We're already a fourth done. Time just keeps on moving away. For some of us, we were just getting used to 2025, and now it's 2026. I want to make a prediction today. This year, 2026, is going to go faster even than 2025. I make a prediction. It already is. If we're just waiting on time to slow down, folks, I want to tell you, it's going to pass you right on by. I believe that God has some great things he's wanting to do in 2026. But we had better not be sleeping. We better not just be checked out, not paying attention, because we don't want to miss what God has for us and for his church this year. And so that's what the enemy would like us doing. Not paying attention, sleeping, checked out, absent-minded, focused on anything else except for what God has for us. Oblivious, unaware of the times and seasons we're living in. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul declares, he says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. He says, but of the times and seasons you have no need that I write to you. But what about us here today? Are we familiar with what time it is? Jesus criticized the Pharisees because they couldn't discern the times. But what about us? Are we watching? Are we waiting? Come on, are we expecting, or are we sleeping and unaware and preoccupied with other things? We better not be sleeping because we don't want to miss our greatest hour. We better not be just coasting along, not paying attention, because we'll miss the final act of God's marvelous plan where he wraps everything up. The greatest revival that this world has ever seen. This is our time. Come on, this is our time. It's what God has called us for such a time as this. Somebody wake up today. Somebody get serious about the call of God on your life, about the work that he has for us to do. 2026 is a year for revival. It is a year for growth, personally and as a church, spiritually and numerically. But it's going to take work, and it takes focus. It takes our church coming together in unity, focusing on what's important, putting God first every day of our life, seeking him before anything else. Oh, is there anybody here today that you want to see that happen in 2026? Come on, a quarter of the year has already gone by. We've got three quarters left. Let's not waste any more time. Let's not be sleeping when we should be working. This is the hour for the church to rise up and be an army in this world for Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. How many understand that we live in the most distracted age that there has ever been in human history? Personally, I've never struggled with distractions more. Notifications constantly ping. Screens demand our attention. All kinds of things pull us in every direction. Social media, it's really one of the biggest curses when it comes to distraction. I challenge you to look at how much time you spend on social media. Go to your battery settings and it will show you. It's hard to believe how much time during the day is spent on mindless interaction with media. I'm preaching to us as a church today, but we can all apply this personally. A distracted church is a defeated church. A distracted church is a defeated church, and a distracted man or woman of God is a defeated man or woman of God. Instead of focusing on the main thing, we're busy chasing all kinds of things. We get anxious and troubled about many things while missing the one thing that matters. What is that one thing? Paul said that he pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Remember the story in the Bible about Mary and Martha? That story is not about housework versus laziness, okay? It's about priority and focus. Reading in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Martha, Martha, you're troubled. You're worried about so many things, Jesus told her. He said, you're distracted. You're distracted. Martha wasn't doing something bad. And in fact, she was serving the Lord. But her good work had pulled her attention away from something that was better, her relationship with God. And Jesus said, one thing is needed. When we're distracted, we look a lot like Martha. We're busy, busy all the time. We're too busy to pray. We're too busy to read the word. We're too busy to hear the voice of God. When we're distracted, we get frustrated like Martha. We get critical of others. And when we're distracted, just like Martha, we miss Jesus in the midst of it all. As a church, we cannot let ourselves get distracted in this hour, focusing on too many things instead of the one thing. Hallelujah. Serving is not wrong. We're called to serve. It's part of what we do here. Excellence isn't wrong. We should do everything with the spirit of excellence as unto the Lord, but not at the cost of missing Jesus. Hallelujah. The cares of this world will distract us if we're not careful. In the parable of the sower and the soil, Jesus talked about the thorns coming up and choking out the word. He said in Mark chapter 4, verse 19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, they choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. We cannot let ourselves be distracted by all the noise going on in this world. The enemy wants the distraction of the world to get into the church, where we focus on other things instead of the one thing, where we get sidelined with disagreements that really don't matter, and we stop advancing the kingdom of God. The enemy doesn't need to destroy us. He just needs to keep us busy and distracted. A distracted church looks a lot like Martha. A distracted church focuses on themselves instead of focusing on Jesus. A distracted church is anxious about good things, but not what's best. A distracted church gets critical of one another. James wrote, he wrote about wars and fightings among you. Oh, the enemy loves it when the church gets distracted like that. But the bottom line is, a distracted church is ineffective at reaching a lost world. If the enemy can't destroy us, he'll do his best to distract us. If we're going to change the world in 2026, it's going to take focus. Focus. The Apostle Paul was so focused that he was even able to let some nice things go because they really didn't matter. We read about it today. Look at some of the things that he discarded. His heritage. He said he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. In that day, there were many of the Jews that they tried to fit in with the rest of the world. But Paul was proud that he was a Hebrew. He was circumcised the eighth day. He was of the stock of Israel. It was something he'd been proud of, but he was willing to put that aside. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. They were a distinguished tribe. Israel's first king, Saul, had been from Benjamin. They had aligned themselves with Judah when Israel divided into two nations. Benjamin was also the tribe where the city of Jerusalem was located. It was something special, but Paul said, I'm willing to put that lineage aside. He said, as touching the law, he was a Pharisee. Within the select group of people, the Jewish people, he was part of an even more select segment, the Pharisees. They were known for going the extra mile in their devotion to the law, keeping the smallest details of it. He said that he had zeal, persecuting the church. He was wrong, but although he was wrong, he thought he was doing what was right in persecuting the church. He was zealous for the work of God. And touching the righteousness which is in the law, he said he was blameless. He lived a blameless life. What he was saying is that if there was anyone who could lay a claim to pleasing God by works and by keeping the law, it was him. He was far more qualified than others to make such a claim. But then he goes on. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, he says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Paul got so focused that he discarded the things that he once considered valuable. He counted everything as garbage compared to what Jesus had done for him. He said, "I'll throw it all away if that lets me gain Jesus Christ." Today, we must not let the good keep us from what's best. If we're not careful, the good can be a distraction from what's best. Oh, let me preach to somebody here today. There's a lot of good in our lives. God has been good to us. He has blessed us. We have so much to be thankful for. We've done a lot of good things. We've had a lot of great accomplishments, things that we could be proud of. What a blessed people we are. But none of that matters. None of that matters when compared with Jesus Christ. Come on, none of that is important if we don't keep our focus on Him. Paul said, those things that were gained to me, those things that were once valuable to me, he says, I count them as loss. They're worthless for Jesus Christ. Everything else is worthless when we compare it to the value of knowing Him. Hallelujah. And Paul said, for His sake, I've thrown everything else away, counting it all as garbage for this one thing, that I could gain Jesus Christ. I want to make an appeal to us here today. What is it that is keeping us back from what's best in 2026? What is it that's making us lose our focus on the things of God? What is it that we're holding so tightly on to that God says, if you'll just give that to me, I'm going to give you something so much more better. Hallelujah. Maybe it's not a sin. Maybe it's something, it's good, really. Maybe it's something we could be proud of, but when compared with the value of what the Lord has for us, it's just garbage. Are we willing to lay down some things, maybe even some good things, in order to get God's best? Are we willing to commit ourselves 100% to God's plan and purpose in us? Is there anybody here that's what you want today? That for the rest of this year, you're making up your mind, I am going to seek the one thing. I'm going to put my relationship with God first before every single thing else. Come on, I'm going to completely be sold out to the Lord. I've got to have this. Amen. I feel this. I know 3 months are already gone, but if somebody here today, you'll take this to heart and you'll give yourself completely to the things of God. I believe in 9 months, at the end of this year, there's going to be a transformation in you that is so shocking, you won't even recognize the person you become at the end of this year. But it takes surrender. It takes commitment. Come on, it takes a prayer life. It takes faithfulness. It takes separation from the world. It's going to take some sacrifice along the way. If this was easy, then everybody would be doing it. But God's calling somebody to go the extra mile. God's calling somebody to say, I've got to have the one thing. Hallelujah. Come on, God's reaching for us. I believe He's got great things for this church and great things for us. But it takes saying, I'm going to put some other things aside. I'm not going to focus on too many things. I've got to focus on the main thing. Look at some of the Bible who had this kind of focus. Abraham. God called him to leave his homeland, his family, his friends, everything he knew. Safety, security, comfort, leave it all behind. for a new land that God would show him. Leave everything behind for a land you've never even seen, Abram. You don't even know where it's at. And we think we have it so rough. God calls us to be a leader in our family, in our school, on the job. He calls us to be set apart, and you think he's asking us to die. Greatness only comes through sacrifice. And we really have it so easy. We really do. Abraham gave up everything, but God gave him the best. What about Joseph? Oh, sure, God gave Joseph a dream. And I believe God's given some here today a dream. But what God didn't give Joseph was the timeline of the dream. We get that dream and we assume, well, it's all happening on my schedule. It's coming to pass right away. Without any challenges, it's just going to all fall into place. But Joseph had to go through some things. He was hated by those who should have loved him most. Jealousy, betrayal, getting thrown into a pit and left for dead, then sold into slavery, taken to a foreign land, wrongly accused, thrown into a prison to rot his life away. But Joseph had the strength to endure hardship, to endure prison. Because his dream focused on the greatness of God, and he stayed focused, and that's what kept him. I want to challenge you, keep your focus today. Don't get distracted. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Yes, you've got a dream, but on this journey, keep focused for the Lord. What about Moses? He had everything he could ever desire in Pharaoh's house, but he said, there's something I want more. Hebrews 11:24 tells us, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses could turn his back on Egypt because he was intently focused on God's plan. He thought it would be better off to suffer with the people of God than to have all the treasures of Egypt. He was focused. He was intently looking ahead to his reward. And the Apostle Paul. Paul had some things he could have been proud of. Some things he'd accomplished. And he could have been sidetracked with the good things in his life. He could have focused on his heritage, his upbringing, his accomplishment, his blameless life. But he said, I consider that all garbage compared to Jesus Christ. And he laid it aside and focused on what God had for him. He said, this one thing I do. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's some things I've got to leave behind. Come on. But what I'm reaching forward to is so much better. We're not looking back today. We're looking forward. We're looking forward. God has greater things ahead. The best days of this church are still to come. Does anybody believe that today? The best miracles haven't even happened yet. The greatest revival is still to come. We're not looking back. We're reaching forward today. We're moving ahead. Come on, we're going someplace. God has something better, but I've got to leave some things behind. I've got to press toward the mark. Amen. Somebody, you need to hear this today. The enemy wants you to think that your best days are in the past. I feel a witness in the Spirit and in the Word today that your best days are still ahead. Your best days are still ahead. Hallelujah. Maybe somebody's even an elder today, and you're thinking, well, I've already lived most of my life. I've got less years to live than what I've already lived. I want to tell you, with God, anything is possible. And he takes whatever little we have, and when we surrender to him, he blesses it and he multiplies it. It could be that just in the rest of this year, 2026, you're going to get so focused on the things of God that God's going to do more through you this year than what you've ever seen God do. Come on, I believe it. I believe it. Would anybody say, that's me? I'm going to focus on this one thing. I'm going to give everything I have to serving the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Distracted runners can't win the race. A runner can't be worried about paying the bills. They got to be focused on winning the race. A runner can't be thinking about what they're going to go eat when the race is done. They got to race to win. A runner can't be smiling and waving at everybody in the crowd and distracted. No, they've got a race to run. As we're running this race, we've got to be focused like we've never been before. We need to lay aside every weight that slows us down. And the sin that so easily trips us up. Is there sin in our life today? Come on, we know. We know. We'll never get God's best with sin tripping us up. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Repent of it. Put it on the altar. And don't pick it back up. I happen to be old enough. I'm not old. I'm still in the young youth group. But I happen to be old enough to remember services where the conviction of the Lord was so strong and people would, they'd bring a pack of cigarettes and put it on the altar and they'd lay it down and they'd go out and they'd never smoke again. Come on, alcohol, drugs. I've heard of some churches having to figure out how to get rid of a bag of stuff because they didn't want to get in trouble with it. But somebody said, I don't want it either. I'm laying it down. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody here today. It's time that you stop letting that sin control you. Come on, it's time that you be the best that you can be for God, and the sin is tripping you up. It's time to kick the sin to the curb and say, no, Jesus has delivered me. The blood of Jesus is stronger than any addiction. The blood of Jesus is stronger than any old habit of sin. I'm not living that way anymore, but I'm going to seek the one thing, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We've got to lay aside sin if we want God's best. And the weight that slows us down. If we're carrying too much baggage, we can't win the race. I want to tell you, my heart goes out to some of you today because I know you're carrying things you're not meant to carry. Because of things you've been through, because of things that have happened to you, because of failures and all of this, there's baggage. There's baggage. You're carrying it, though, and you're not meant to. Jesus said, my burden's easy. My burden's light. Would you give it to the Lord today, God? I don't understand why all of this has happened, but Lord, I give it to you, and I don't want to carry this anymore. If we're carrying too much baggage, we can't win the race. What have we given up for Jesus lately? Maybe it's not even a sin, but it's a weight. It's a weight. It's not letting us run as fast as we should. We justify it because it's not really a sin, and we haven't heard Pastor preach about it, and the Bible doesn't necessarily talk about it, but for us, we know it's slowing us down. The more weight we're carrying, the greater the temptation to quit running. But think of what we could do if we were to rid all of that weight. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's something we give our time to. Maybe it's something we entertain ourselves with. Maybe it's social media. I can foresee the day that we preach against social media. People sitting in church on their phone because they're so addicted. You hadn't heard a word of what I've said today because you're so addicted. I want to tell you, even if the Bible doesn't say it's a sin, it's a weight. It's slowing us down. It's a distraction. This one thing I do, we've got to focus everything we have on what God has called us to do. I'm going to clear out these other things from my life because I've got to make room. I've got to make room once and for all. I'm going to be committed to Him. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. This is the most important thing in my life. I've got to focus on this one thing. I've got to be 100% in. Come on, somebody. I believe God's saying, if you will do that, I'm going to work a work among you that you're not going to believe. You're not going to believe it. There's going to be miracles. There's going to be signs and wonders. There's going to be a revival like you've never experienced before. But somebody's got to get our priority right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you stand with me today? Song says, I just want you and nothing else. Nothing else will do. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Paul had his priorities right. He counted all the trophies and all the accomplishments of his past as just rubbish in order to gain Jesus Christ. In Philippians 3:10, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He wanted to know Jesus. He wanted to experience his power, to share in his sufferings, and to ultimately be conformed to his death so that he could gain the same resurrection. Paul was a man on a mission. He was totally focused. This one thing I do. Come on, who am I talking to today that one thing? It's not even 10 things. You've got like 100 things going on. You don't know which one to focus on. Just you're being controlled instead of you controlling it. It's time to lay some things down. I got to get my priorities right. Paul, he identified some things that hindered him, and he had to let them go. There's some things, some hindrances. There's some hindrances today that are keeping us from doing the call of God in our life. We got to lay those hindrances down if we want God's best. Paul discovered what he wanted. He wanted to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. That was his complete focus. So he forgot everything of his past and he pursued the things of God completely. Here's where we're at today. One quarter in to 2026, the enemy would love for us to look at our life and think, you know what? You're a pretty good person. You try to live for God. You come to church. You're faithful. You've lived for God for however many years. You've done this or done that. You've accomplished these things. You've been faithful. You've done your best to live holy. And we think, yeah, I've done all of this. But then we miss the more that God has for us. We miss the best that He has prepared. Maybe you're here today and you've never really surrendered to God. Not completely. Not fully. There comes a point in everybody's walk with the Lord. They come to church. God moves. Maybe they receive the Holy Ghost. They're baptized in Jesus' name. But then God starts dealing with them about His will in their life. And every one of us comes to a point where we're feeling that tug of the Spirit, and we either surrender to it or we resist and we say, no, I'm going to live for You on my own terms. Sometimes people, they come to the house of the Lord and they feel conviction because there's something in their life that God's saying, I want you to change. I want you to maybe give something up. I want you to live for Me. And they feel that conviction and that, ooh, that kind of scares them because they've always been in control. They've always charted the course of their life. This is weird now because what? Give up control? Trust God? I've never done that before. I have a decision to make. Either God, I'm gonna go all in and trust You with everything, or I'm gonna hold back and I'm gonna maintain my own control. And if they do that, they never get the best that God has for them. Somebody today needs to reach for that one thing, and there's a move of His Spirit all through this service, and I know that God's been working. Would you just say, Lord, here I am. Have Your way in me. Have Your way in me. Praise the Lord. These altars are open. If you want to come and pray, if you want to find a place to pray there in your chair, that's fine. But would somebody say, Lord, I'm putting some things aside today. I'm maybe letting some good things even go because I've got to get the best. I've got to get the best. A relationship with You. I know You've called me to more. I know You've called me to more, God. Oh, Lord, help me to seek that one thing. Help me to seek that one thing. To surrender to You, Jesus. To let You work in my life, oh God.